excited by God. And I'm so grateful that I'm here to see another resurrection day. When you get my age, you're happy about making another year to see the resurrection, or to see another birthday, which I'll have tomorrow. And I'm just grateful. So praise God. So I'm trying to see if anybody else is coming. I know Sabrina Gutierrez says she would not be here. Yeah, I didn't hear from anybody else. I see Sister Ashley's here. I think she's from number two. And so I think we're going to go ahead and have Reverend open us with prayer and start the praise and worship, so we don't hold up those that may open us with prayer, and then Dr. Carson will start to pray some worship.
Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you this morning, Father God, as we worship you, Father God, and we worship the risen King, Father God, for we know he has risen like he said he would, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, as we celebrate what they call Easter Sunday, Father God, but we call it Resurrection Day, Father God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, Father God. For, Father God, you gave us, Father God, another chance, Father God, you gave us a chance to be saved by grace, since we couldn't follow the rules, Father God. So we thank you for that. We thank you what Jesus did, Father God. And we thank you for allowing us this day, Father God, to come together and celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, Father God, as we know many people do, Father God. We lift up those, Father God, who never go to church until this day, Father God. We hope, Father God, that they get some out of it this day and realize it's just not for Resurrection Sunday, but they should join every Sunday, Father God. Oh, so Father God, we just thank you as the enemy tries to corrupt our prayer and our service, Father God. We pray that he does not get a chance to do that today, Father God. So we're just going to thank you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
You are breaking up. I don't know if you know it.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, we praise the Lord. We're going to go into our praise and worship now. We have lots to praise God for. Every one of us that's on here right now and those that will come have a testimony about how God has kept us. And so there's no exceptions to that. If you woke up this morning, God kept you. The other things that we had experienced in this week, last week, all of those other times, we have gone with the Lord.
Spirit, we go into the word, but this is for him. How great!
This morning, Father, we thank you, we give you praise and glory for your gracious gift to us in your Son Jesus, who died on the cross for us and who was resurrected on the third day and now sits at the right hand of the throne of grace, making intercession for us. Father, we ask that you would anoint our ears to hear this morning and open our hearts so we can receive from your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to talk about this morning five ways the resurrection power transformed our lives. Those of us that are saved, we have been transformed. In the book of Romans, it says in Romans chapter 12, be ye transformed, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this morning, we want to talk about that just briefly. We want to talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And these are great events in history. These events continue to be imperative, be an imperative part of daily life. But the resurrection is more than just an event. It's more than just an event that happened in history. It's a source of power that you can experience in your own life every single day. Resurrection power is promised to every believer in Christ. And we receive it in the same way that Jesus gave it. And that is by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for the sake of our sin. The same resurrection power that brought Jesus from the dead to life is available to you. And if you channel it, you will see amazing transformation in your own life too. You can also use that power now. Your hope of the resurrection isn't just for the future. When you physically die and go to heaven, it's also for now, every day of your life. So here are five ways resurrection power can completely transform your life. No matter what you're going through today, Jesus is there. The resurrection assures us of this. And when nothing makes sense and everything was hard, God worked it out for good, bringing the greatest blessing mankind could ever receive. We often grow in the most, we grow the most during the hard times in our lives. During those times, we have the opportunity to really press into God and to go deep into a deeper level in our relationship with Him. Why? Because we have to. You know, when I was at Bible College at Rhema, our Dean Moffitt taught a class, the Life of Christ. And he said that you should put on your armor every day. He said, because every day you should be a different size. And so you need to put on your armor again, so that it would fit the size you are that particular day. And we need to know that we need to be growing, And so when we talk about growing, it's very much a part of our salvation. If you're the same way you were when you first got saved, there's something wrong. Because you should be growing. You should be maturing, see? Because Jesus wants us to mature. God wants us to mature because we can't help anybody else if we're just getting diapers. And so God, as I said earlier, work it out for good. Bring the greatest blessing mankind would ever receive. And we often grow the most during the hard times. You see, you have to stretch yourself in the hard times. During those times, we have the opportunity to really press into God and go to a deeper level in our relationship with Him. Why? Because we have to. I said that over again because I want you to really understand that you have to go to another level in God. You have to be able to endure hardness like a good soldier. That was the scripture that's in Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy, you have to endure hardness like a good soldier. That's the scripture of the theme that was used when I was ordained at Rhema. Endure hardness like a good soldier. So you got to grow. You got to press into God and go to a deeper level in your relationship with Him. Because we have to. It's our only choice if we want to make it through difficult situations. You see, you have to grow. You have to endure hardness. And so you have to learn how to do that. So when we trust God, He gives us the comfort of knowing that He can work bad things out for our good. And so Jesus gave us the example. He went to Calvary. He gave us the example. So the resurrection power is the basis for our hope. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything and is the basis for future hope. Aside from the resurrection of Christ, we have no future hope. The Apostle Paul explains that if Christ had not been raised, then we, out of all people, are to be pitied, for our hope in Christ fails to extend beyond the present life. 1 Corinthians 15:19. But since Christ has been raised, we are those who can look death in the face, knowing that it has no final victory, no lasting sting. 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Because Christ is risen, we have assurance that our efforts in sharing the gospel that Christ is risen is not pointless or without purpose, but will matter forever. It will matter forever. Without the resurrection, we have no gospel, no salvation, no saving message, and no future hope. We have to understand that, saints. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God's power will guard our lives every step of the way. Often what we fear most isn't the trial or the hardships we're facing, but what we might face tomorrow. You know, we're always a step ahead. What's going to happen tomorrow? How am I going to deal with tomorrow? What if a trial is too much to endure? See, that's what I'm talking about. What if something devastates my faith and I walk away from Jesus? What if my children endure suffering? Life isn't easy. In fact, life can be fierce, dangerous, and heartbreaking. God doesn't promise that our journey will be simple. But our inheritance is being guarded, and so are we. God didn't promise us that it would be trouble-free, this life, just because you say you think it's free and you don't have no trouble. Well, that's a fantasy, because you will have trouble. In fact, I probably have had more trouble since I've been saved than before I got saved. And for those that will hear this later on and you're not saved, don't let me intimidate you and frighten you about salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing you can receive, because you have a God that is powerful. He's mighty. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask to think, and he will get you through whatever you need to go through. Our inheritance is being guarded, and so are we. It's been said many times before, but still remains true. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. The same personal love that is keeping the inheritance for us is keeping us for the inheritance. So we need to know that we serve a mighty God. So the resurrection power will help you take on the impossible. That's what resurrection power would do for you. In your daily life, you can expect the impossible. When Jesus died, the disciples thought everything was lost, but Jesus gave a glorious outcome and showed his disciples that he conquers death by his own death. Just as the resurrection itself was impossible for anyone but God, the power behind the resurrection will take you those things that are impossible for you to deal with, take you into those situations and allow you to be successfully delivered from them. You can expect God to challenge your faith when you ask for his resurrection power in your life. But know that if you trust him, you will experience greater life than you can imagine. You see, there's that song, Through It All, Andre Crouch. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in him. If I didn't have a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve. Through it all, I've learned to trust in him. So resurrection power allows us to experience peace in the midst of the confusion. You don't have to live with guilt and shame because of the resurrection power to forget your sin. Ask God to give you the peace of knowing that you're in a right relationship with him. It's important that you recognize that if you're deliberately sinning against God, you can't be in a right relationship with him. So deal with your sin so it doesn't block the peace of God, the peace that God wants you to experience. If you want to experience peace, Jesus offers if you want to experience peace, the peace that Jesus offers you, you must come to him on his terms. You see, he's not gonna negotiate with us. The word of God is true. And we know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And he's not going to negotiate with you. He's going to give you the information through the Holy Spirit that you need. And if you follow that, you're going to be all right. But if you think you're going to fool God and lie to him, you can forget that. So he'll deal with your sin so it doesn't block the peace of God that you want to experience. But you have to be upfront and know that you need to stop deliberately sinning against God. You can't be in a right relationship with him. So deal with your sin so it doesn't block the peace of God. If you want to experience peace, the peace that Jesus offers, you must come to him on his terms. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Not your terms. You can't bargain. You have to come to Jesus on his terms and be willing to live the way he needs you to live. Every day, ask God for forgiveness of your sin so that you can enjoy true peace. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is what he provides. And you get forgiveness, and then you can receive the blessings. We have glorious hope in Christ through the power of his resurrection. We are offered a joyous message that he is not dead. He is risen. What a strength to know that because of his resurrection, God has promised us the power of forever life He promised us the power of forever life too. And it doesn't start when we die. It started the moment we placed our faith in Jesus. The moment we placed our faith in Jesus. So we need to understand that. So six things that happened at the Last Supper. I want to go back to the Last Supper for a few minutes. Six things that happened during that time. Because we didn't do a Good Friday service. And so I just want to make sure that we look at these six things. So we want to do that, and then we're going to be finished. This may be a different kind of situation for you in terms of an Easter service, but we need to know that while we know the story of the Last Supper, it is always helpful to discuss the occurrences during that day to further understand and appreciate Christianity in Jesus. Not only did he sacrifice his life for the greater good, but he did not allow hatred to consume him. So let's take a look at what happened during the Last Supper so we can better learn how that day affects us, how we live today. Now, this might be going backwards, but it's okay because I just got to explain to you about the power of the resurrection. But I want to go back and talk about just what happened to cause us to have this power, because there may be some people, maybe not this morning, but there may be some people who will hear this message that don't know about the Last Supper. They don't know about what happened before Christ went to Calvary. So Passover represents Israel's escape from the bondage in Egypt. And I was privy the other to be over to Sister Patsy's. I had gone over there. We had she had cooked. And I went over there, and we watched the Exodus. Always watch those films. They're not always accurate, everything, detail to detail, but it refreshes our memory about those that were in slavery and how God delivered them from slavery. So that's about the Passover. So in Exodus, the blood of the Passover lamb was painted on the door frames, causing the plague of the firstborn to be passed over in their houses, sparing the firstborn sons from death. The Last Supper is significant because Jesus showed his disciples he was about to become the Passover lamb of God. His blood would open the door to freedom. His followers would exchange slavery for sin and death for eternal life in God's kingdom. Jesus transformed the Passover feast into the Lord's Supper. With this supper being Jesus' last meal on earth, it served as a unique way for everyone to remember him. The gesture proceeded throughout history because Jesus remains the one who ultimately saved us all. So let me just talk about communion here. I want to try to connect the dots for you in a short period of time. So there are three main views regarding the blood and the wine during the practice of communion. The bread and wine consumed during the Last Supper have remained constant in the Christian community. The bread and wine become the actual body and blood of Christ. Christ's presence by faith is made spiritual because they are unchanged elements used as symbols representing Christ's body and blood in remembrance of his enduring sacrifice. Jesus reveals that his death is not a surprise. He is aware he will die, and he can see the bigger picture. His passing away is not about a plan failing or an empty salvation. However, the betrayer is responsible to God for his betrayal. Judas' actions never fool God. God is always there, and no matter how secretive a sin may appear, we know that God sees us. So we know that Jesus' words about greatness and rule are significant and have lasting importance, especially since they are in the shadow of his death. He wants to remind his followers that no matter how bad the conditions get, a day will come when vindication and authority will prevail. Jesus' words during the Last Supper help us cope with suffering and remind that God will always be on our side, no matter how challenging the time may be. All the disciples share the promise of reward and a place at the table of the Masonic Fellowship. You may wonder why I went backwards to the communion. Why I did not talk about the Passover first? Because today we look back on that Last Supper. We look back at what happened and to begin the process of our Lord and Savior going to Calvary. This took place. He knew what was getting ready to happen with them. He told his disciples that he wouldn't fellowship with them in this way again until we were in heaven with him. But he wanted to have that final supper with them. And so you see, then he knows that he's going out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to pray. Until he prayed so hard, the word of God says, and that sweat dropped off of him like drops of blood. He was praying because he knew what he was getting ready to go through. He was praying for us, and he was praying for himself. The flesh and blood body of Christ was just like our flesh and blood body. Although he was God on the inside, he had that flesh and blood body, and that flesh and blood body said, I don't want to go through what I got to go through. And he said, God, if it be your will, pass this bitter cup. Let me not have to go through what I know I'm getting ready to go through, but you see, it had to be done. And so he went through that terrible beating. He went through people spitting on him and talking to him like he was nobody when he was the actual Son of God. He was God in a human body. But he went through all of that so that we could have salvation. So that is the part that I want to leave with you this morning. I want you to know that Jesus paid all. That song that said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I haven't even sang that song in so long, but those words are imprinted in my spirit from a girl. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank God this morning that I'm saved. I thank God this morning that you're saved. And our prayer is that there will be many more that will accept Jesus Christ as they listen to this message, wherever they listen to it, wherever they get the message of salvation, about why we celebrate Resurrection Day. You see, it's not the Easter eggs and it's not the bunny rabbits. And it's not all of that little new hat, new dress, and it's about a risen Savior. It's about the person who loved us enough to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to stop right there. I know y'all may have other plans for this afternoon, but I thank God for each one of you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for recognizing that Jesus is the answer, that he gave his life so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. So with that said, we're getting ready to dismiss. And we thank God, like I say, for each one of you, no matter if you just came or whatever happened. You can go back and hear this message, I hope. But if you can't, know that Jesus is alive and well. And he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of grace, making intercession for us right now, in Jesus' name. All right, Reverend, I appreciate it. If you dismiss us, I want y'all to have a really exciting day, whatever your plans are. Have an exciting day. If you're staying home, if you cooked a big meal, whatever you did, just celebrate Resurrection Sunday. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that our Savior is alive and well. All right, Reverend.
Amen, amen. Thank you for taking us back to that Last Supper, you know, and he has risen. He has risen. He wasn't in that grave when they went back to look for him. And, you know, so many people don't want to believe that. But I tell you something. These people these days are so smart. They find dinosaur bones, 1 million years old. They find bones and they got all these forensic files, but no one ever found the bones of Jesus. No one ever found Jesus' body in 1 million years. I don't care. They can find dinosaurs. They can find criminals. They can find everything. They so smart these days. But they never found Jesus because he went up to heaven and he died for our sins. He died for me, you, us, them non-believers. He died for them too. So thank you for that, Pastor. And we just thank each and every one here today. And I'm just going to end it because I think Pastor said it all. I'm not celebrating Easter. I don't got no eggs because I ain't got the grandchildren around. I ain't got no eggs and nothing like that. I'm going to eat me a little ham and I'm going to enjoy Resurrection Sunday. That's what I'm going to enjoy. So, Father God, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you did so many years ago that affects us right now, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that when they looked that you were not there, Father God, that we thank you that you died on that cross for our sins, for those sins before, those sins now, Father God. So we just want to thank you this morning, Father God. Father God, I thank you for each and everyone here today, Father God. I thank you for the families that are represented here today, Father God. I pray everyone have a peaceful, restful Resurrection Day, Father God, and remember what this day is and what we're celebrating it for, Father God. And I just want to thank you as we end our service. I thank you for the message. I thank you for the messenger, Father God. And I pray each and everyone have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. If y'all got some extra food, just call me. I'll be right over. No, I'm just
You know, this is the first Easter that I haven't had a ham in my house. And the reason I don't have one is because I didn't go shopping for one. But I was just thinking about that when you said ham, because I always have a ham. But God knows. I can have it next Sunday if I'm here. I can have it whenever I have it. Praise God, y'all. Enjoy.
All right. And I'm sorry. And if we don't see you tomorrow, I just want to say happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. For y'all that don't know, tomorrow is the pastor's birthday. And we wish her a very happy birthday. I hope to see you on the 6th. If I get them licensed together, I'm going to drive over there and join y'all on the 6th. I got the invitation. All right. Look at Miss Erica Carson. Hi, Erica. Show your face, girl. Look at you. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you, Miss Erica. Oh, look at the baby. Where you come from, girl? How you look how big you done got. Lord have mercy, you just a big girl now, ain't you? Oh, Lord. I am so proud, Erica, that you come every Sunday. God bless you. Have a happy Easter. And just have fun.
Yeah, we got two Ericas. So our other sister Erica's on the line. Sister Sabrina, I think she's worshiping with her family today, but we're glad to have all the Ericas we can have.
All right, everybody. All right. Stay blessed, y'all.
God bless.
Amen. And everyone, have a blessed Easter Sunday.